Let me ask you this morning to pull your worship bulletin out and look at the front of it, if you would. I was at a conference one time and said, one of the ways you can be most effective is to preach the announcements. And he said, that's one sure way to make sure everybody understands what's going on, or at least the people that are there on that particular day. And somebody raised their hand and said, yeah, but next week it'll be a totally different crowd. I'm like, well, yeah, I think most churches deal with that. I want to draw your attention to the very bottom of the announcement section, right down here, where it says, follow South Belt Church on Facebook and Twitter. I want to ask you to make a conscious effort, and I've talked to Doug, and he's going to come up with an Instagram page for us as well, and we'll post that when that's available. But I really want you to pay attention to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and here's why. Because as we get into Easter in a month or so, I'm going to call the church to 21 days of prayer and fasting. The best way to communicate that with you is going to be through social media. Also, I can do things like announce the Lord's Supper through social media. And so if you would take some time, not while I'm preaching this morning, to go ahead and take the bulletin home, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, and follow that, so that we can better communicate with you. And when the Instagram account's up and running, we'll let you know about that as well. So there's my advertisement. There's point number one of my sermon. Follow us on social media. Point number two will begin here in just a second. But we're talking about Psalm 23, verse 5 again today. And you're thinking, well, you sure spent a lot of time on verse 5. I have, but it's so rich in its magnitude for who we are as Christ followers and what we learn about the shepherd and what the shepherd does for us. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you, being the shepherd, God the Father, prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Not just any table, the king's table. And he is our host, and he invites us to dine with him, and he brings this banquet table into the battlefields of our life. Wherever we are, whatever we're struggling with, he brings that table there in the presence of our enemies. And while our enemies are watching, he anoints us and binds our wounds and heals our wounds and gets us ready to go back to the battlefield. And as a result of all of these good things that is happening, the shepherd brings us into an environment where we can say, like the psalmist here, my cup overflows. And so this is the shepherd's goal for the sheep, is for the cup of the sheep to be overflowing. Unfortunately, most of you in this room this morning want the overflow but don't live in the overflow. And so I want to address the question this morning, how do I live in the overflow? How do I experience the things that the shepherd wants the sheep to have? And the first thing that we have to talk about is kind of where I ended last week. How does the sheep enjoy the overflowing cup from the shepherd? And my friends, you have to understand that it starts with proximity. It starts with your desire to be connected to the shepherd. Trey Nine, who is a local rapper that records and produces some of the local talent, particularly guys that practice their craft in a Christian context, says all the time that if you don't want my help, then I can't help you. And the first time I heard him say that as a pastor, my heart went, yes! But as I've contemplated that through the 3 years or so that I've been friends with Trey, when I hear that statement, my heart breaks. Because as your shepherd, I want you to find overflow. I want you to know what it's like to be connected and in proximity to the shepherd. But if I keep pouring truth out into your life and you keep ignoring it or keep walking away from it, my heart just breaks. If you do not want proximity to Christ, I can't help you. The shepherd can't help a sheep that consistently wants to stay away from him. And as we have discussed for the last 3 months, a sheep that stays away from the shepherd and is in not proximity to him is fit for all kinds of terrible things. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot rest in green pastures. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot drink from the still waters. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot walk the path of righteousness. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot find comfort in the valley of the shadow of death. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot find comfort from his rod and his staff. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot enjoy the banquet table. If you do not want proximity to the shepherd, you cannot know the relief of his anointing. And if you refuse proximity to the shepherd, there is no overflow in your cup. None of the blessings of Psalm 23 are yours if you choose to stay away from the shepherd. Jesus teaches us in John chapter 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, there's a choice that has to be made here. And I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He continues, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And still further down in verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus says, I'm the vine. And when you stay in close proximity to me and attach to me as one of the branches, my goal for you is that your joy may be full. That's overflow. Not only is this what Jesus wants for you, it's what David talked about as being a sheep. How do you need to adjust your life today to regain your proximity to the shepherd? What do you have to let go of so that you can be connected to the sheep? Proximity to the shepherd is where the sheep enjoy the overflow. And if you do not want to be close to the shepherd, then I can't help you. How does the sheep enjoy the overflow from the shepherd? It starts with proximity. But it evolves into gratitude. It evolves into gratitude. If you are constantly focusing on what is wrong, if you are constantly grumbling about what you lack, you will never know the joy of overflow. You don't have to take my word for it. This is science. There has been study after study after study that's been done on how a joyful disposition and a grateful heart and a servant-minded spirit changes the actual chemical composition and structure and makeup in the brain, resulting in an overflow mentality, if you will. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take the scripture's word for it. Science tells us that people that live with a disposition of thanksgiving and gratitude are stronger mentally, emotionally. They have a better chemical composition makeup in their brain. Your disposition may be like mine, and I'm not bent that way. I have to work at this. It's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with your child where they can have honest conversations with you, particularly when those children get to be grown up. It's also very painful because they understand honesty, and sometimes honesty hurts. So Tabitha and I have that relationship. And Tabitha and I have been talking for the last year or so about the ways that she is like me and how she really doesn't like the fact that there are ways in which she is like me. And she's like, Daddy, you're hard to get out of my system. And she didn't mean that in a good way either. What she meant was is that I passed on the broken archetypes of me And genetically, she got those. One of those is always a bent towards being pragmatic or realistic or, dare I say, negative. My wife's nodding in affirmation over there. It's just one of the things about me that I really don't like, and it's one of the things about me that I know Jesus doesn't like, and it's one of the things about me that I know I really, really, really have to work on. And so Tabitha and I have made a pact with each other that every day we're going to start with some type of positive, joyful, look what Jesus did, look what God has done moment in our lives, and we're going to share that with each other just to hold each other accountable for staying on track with at least starting the day with some thoughts of positivity. Because gratitude is something that has to be worked on. Most people I know don't just come by it naturally. But the people that do, oh, how I love to be in their presence. You know them. They bring delight to you when you're together. Because it's just naturally who they are. They've just got this, or they have worked through it to where this is what they choose to be. Mike isn't in here. He'd be embarrassed if he knew I was talking about him, and I did not ask for permission to tell this, so I'll get forgiveness later. But if you know Mike, I call him Smiley Mike because he just does that. He just smiles. And he comes to Bible study on Wednesday, and we're sitting out in the foyer before Bible study starts, and I said, Mike, how do you do it? And he looked me dead in the eye, and he said, I didn't used to always be this way. He said, when I was a young man in my teens and 20s, I was angry and vengeful and mean. And he talked about a series of events that happened. He said, and at some point in those years, I made a choice that choosing joy was my option and that I was just going to make that my highest priority. And he is. And he does. And I like it when Mike walks in the room because Mike smiles. How are you, Mike? I'm great. Really? Yeah, really. When people ask me how I am and I say I'm great, you can pretty well bet that I'm lying because in the back of my mind I have this whole list of things that aren't great, but I don't want to bore you with that stuff, right? And so out of courtesy for you and your time, I just don't tell you about all of the terrible things that I could. But it's something that can be worked on. Not only is it science, it's also theology. The scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, Paul says. Continue to live in Him, Paul says. That's proximity. Rooted and built up in Him. That's the abiding of John chapter 15. Receive His strength and from His overflow be grateful. Why? Because not only is it science and not only is it theology, but it's also God's will for your life. Pastors get asked a lot of questions a lot of times. One of the questions I get asked most is, Pastor, I just can't find God's will for my life. And when somebody asks me that, I always go to 1 Thessalonians. Because I may not know the specifics of what God has for your plan in your life, but what I do know is what the Bible says His will for your life is. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. Wait a minute. That's your will for my life? Absolutely. Be joyful means that you have the choice to choose that joy. Verse 17 says, pray continually. Again, that's something that you have the free will to do. And verse 18 says, and give thanks in all circumstances. Wait a minute, my circumstances are terrible. There's no caveat, there's no qualifier here. It just says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you come to me perplexed about God's will for your life, we'll start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How are you in the joy department? How are you in the prayer department? How are you in the thanksgiving department? Because these are the things that are God's will for your life. So let's start there. The overflowing cup from the shepherd is available when you are near Him and when you are grateful to Him. Oh, how He cares for His sheep. Oh, how He does everything for the sheep. Oh, how the shepherd provides everything for the sheep. And how does the sheep respond? the sheep receives the overflow by responding with generosity. The sheep receives the overflow by responding with generosity. Here's more science. The sheep that is content and well fed and well watered and stress free and cared for by a good shepherd gives the finest wool, produces the sweetest milk, births the healthiest lambs, and in the temple provides the worthiest of sacrifices. When a lamb of spotlessness is presented at the temple for sacrifice, that lamb was presented spotless in the temple not because of good genetics, in part, but not always. But the lamb was presented at the temple because of the magnificent care of the shepherd. And even sheep, as dumb as they are, know how to respond with generosity. And when they realize their care from the shepherd is there, and when they are tended to well by the shepherd, they produce fine wool and sweet milk and healthy, vibrant offspring. They give back in return. Are you a giver backer? We talk about time and talent and treasure. And unfortunately, some people think that, well, I'll give my time because I need my treasure other places. Not the New Testament concept. I'll do one in lieu of the other, not the New Testament concept. One of the reasons the overflow you seek is elusive is because you're stingy. One of the reasons the overflow you seek in your life is elusive is because you're stingy. You are stingy with how you invest your time in kingdom things. You are stingy with using your talent for kingdom things. You are stingy in giving of your treasure to kingdom things. These things are inconveniencing to you. And if you want to experience the overflow because you follow and have been saved by a good shepherd, your life should respond with generosity. Paul tells the church at Corinth, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds is going to get a small crop. If you want overflow, you have to plant in abundance. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much you will give. And you must give not reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have enough of everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Why does God give you an overflow? For planting an abundance, so that you'll have enough and so that you'll have more to share with others. I do not understand God's math, but I am a living example of the fact that it has always worked. One of the reasons we talk about financial peace is because it works. If you will posture yourself in close proximity to the Father, if you will be grateful for what you have, and if you will practice generosity based on biblical financial principles, God provides the overflow not only for you, but also for those that are around you. The ultimate goal of financial peace is not for you to get out of credit card debt. The ultimate goal of financial peace is to understand that you are responsible as a Christ follower to live generously. And right now, the way you're living, you are bootstrapped financially and you can't be generous. If you have taken financial peace before, you are welcome to start again. We meet this Wednesday night again, 6:30. Let it help you so that you can help others. God Himself sets the example for our generosity. God, by very nature, is a giver. The table that is here, The table right here represents the generosity of God. And the generosity expressed here starts by our proximity to Him. His generosity makes this table possible. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He what? He gave." What did He give? He gave His child to die on the cross so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. This table calls us to proximity. This table calls us to remember the Christ who gave Himself for us. Last week, we asked you to fill out cards during the offering time. And on those cards, we simply asked the question, "Jesus died for my blank." That was kind of the gist of it. Of course, we all knew sin, but we ask you to be more specific. Here's some of the things that were written on some of those cards. "Jesus died for my lust. He died for my disease. He died for my helplessness. He died for my bitterness. He died for my carelessness. He died for my helplessness. He died for all of those things and many, many more. He gave Himself so that you, despite these things, could find proximity to Him." The cracker that we're going to take represents the broken body. The cup we're going to take represents the spilled blood. And in one of the great paradoxes of the Scripture, this table represents that not only does the good shepherd care for his sheep, but the good shepherd becomes a sheep and dies as the spotless sacrificial lamb for you and for me. He cares about your proximity to Him. He cares about your gratitude in the way you live your life, and He cares about your generosity. If you're struggling to find the overflow, let me encourage you to realign those three priorities in your life starting today. And let the taking of this table be the altar that you build in the wilderness of your life and say, "No more, I will not live in the desert anymore. I will learn to live in the overflow. Because I will move back to the shepherd. I will practice gratitude and I will live a life of generosity with my time and my talent and my treasure for God's kingdom." Build that altar as you receive the cracker.